Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We can't beat beat.
We can't beat beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Boom, beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Monday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. We will have a Jay Moore sighting next segment. Busy one today, a lot to get into from over the weekend. Blackshirt Charlie McBride is coming up in 1 hour. Mondays with Charlie, a former Husker assistant, now an assistant at Texas A&M, and a captain of those CWS teams in the early 2000s. Will Bolt going to be with us in hour two. Welcome to join us this afternoon on Hale Varsity Radio. You can dial up 466-3776. 466-3776, toll free, 1-800-825-5865. Welcome, as always, to Tap the Line here on Hale Varsity, brought to you by Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. On social media, on Twitter, at TJ underscore Henning, at Hale Varsity, or at Schmidt underscore Radio. So, we need to first and foremost get you the lineup, the menu of what is going to be given away or qualified for today. The Smoker, Smokin' Hot Dad promotion extends into its second week. Excited about that. Your chance to qualify for a Smoker this hour, a Smoker next hour, and that Smoker will be given away on Friday the 16th. TJ nods his head. It's all TJ Radio today because this is hours 4 and 5 for TJ Henning. He was awesome to hang out with Greg Smith on Greg and Smith earlier. So, yes, the Smoker giveaway is on Friday. We will qualify you this hour and next hour for the Smokin' Hot Dad Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker and that Leon's Gourmet Grocer $250 gift certificate and gift basket from Leon's that includes rubs and wood chips and wood planks and spices and a steak certificate. So listen for that cue to call this hour. Listen for that cue to call next hour. What else?
And if you qualified last week, you're still qualified for this week as well.
Ah, the carryover.
Mm-hmm. Plus, we have Salt Dogs voucher tickets to use whenever you want to go to any game today. We're giving away a family four-pack.
Wonderful. That is great. So a family four-pack of Dogs tickets. Let's get into the news of the weekend. Well, a couple things. We'll get into recruiting and Cameron Brown's decommitment. Standout wide receiver from the St. Louis area, visited Ohio State, likes Ohio State, decommitted from Nebraska. We'll dive into that. But we got off the air on Saturday as TJ was headed to the beach at Lake Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend edition of Hale Varsity was done at 9, around 9:10. The Omaha World Herald released the news about Keyshawn Johnson Jr. cited for marijuana possession. That was Friday by university police. And according to the report, the residence director, we all remember the RD. Maybe we lived down the hall with or next to. It varies based on your opinion. Maybe time has changed that opinion of your residence director. But in this instance, the residence director at Selleck Hall, my buddy Brant lived in Selleck. That was interesting. Anywho, this residential director called university police after detecting, air quote, possible narcotic usage by a group of students around 3:45. Police found 4.5 grams of marijuana as well as drug paraphernalia in Johnson's room, cited for marijuana possession of less than an ounce. Okay. Let's dive in here. Let's go slippery slope. No, let's not go nuclear. Not yet. It's just Monday. We have plenty of time to ease into the war on drugs. Here is my statement. Here is my thought. And I'm going practical. And then there's the dad side of me, the parental, okay? There is a new normal. The new normal is this. Back in high school, if you wanted a six-pack or the hard stuff, you wanted the turkey, you needed an older brother or a wino down the street to go buy it for you. It is harder to get alcohol than marijuana back in the day. That's 20-some years ago. It's easier to get marijuana now since it's legal in some states, some 8 hours away, than it is still to get alcohol. And in some corners of the universe, alcohol is, in fact, more demonistic than marijuana. You have a shift in culture. You have more adults in the last 10 years using marijuana. Am I condoning it? Am I telling you to use it? That's up to you. It's up to your family. My answer is no, don't use it, Junior, please. Okay? That's my message. Still, just say no. If you do use it, I'm not going to hate on you and call you a bad person either. That's up to you. What you have here is a judgment question. That's what this is. You have a judgment question now in play, right or wrong, it is what's going on, about the program, about decision making. Some folks who do condemn drugs and marijuana, or marijuana being awful and evil, a character question is now on the table in some people's minds. And my answer to that is, it's not a cop-out, it's a reality. How mature and wise were you between the ages of 18 and 21? Not. I'm 39 and you pull my wife, I'm still a jackass, okay? So there it is. It's a mistake, it's a misstep, and if Mike Riley does this effectively, it's a teaching moment. Now, I don't know if it's a scream at you moment or if it's a pat them on the back, it's okay, son, either. I mean, there's middle ground there. And my question is, why are you using it? Are you in pain? Is it something you enjoy more than cracking a beer? What I do on Sunday, went over to my family's house, sat in the pool. How do I unwind? I have a couple beers. That doesn't shock people. That's how I do it. How do kids in California or Louisiana or Florida or Texas or Colorado, even how do kids in Nebraska, how do they unwind? Some will toke up. It's illegal to do so in some states, not illegal to do in other states recreationally. There's inconsistency there. My advice and thought, when in Rome, do as the Romans. If you're in a state that bans and outlaws marijuana use, don't do it. If you're in Nebraska and it's banned and illegal to use marijuana and you still want to use it because it's your way of unwinding, don't get caught. Don't bring negative light on the program. Don't blaze up at 3:45 in the afternoon in a non-smoking dorm. I assume most public places on the university are non-smoking. Should have made a phone call to Selleck. I did not. So if I'm misspeaking there, I forget. Comes down to judgment. Can you count on this dude? Too early to say yes or no on 3rd and 8 if Keyshawn's trustworthy or not. Don't make the mistake of jumping off the cliff and saying, well, you know, he was in trouble his first few months on campus because he got busted in. Listen, he can grow and be better from this. If it's his thing and he grew up with it, I don't know if he did or not, but California, it's legal. It's just different strokes for different folks. Jay Moore is going to chime in on this, former Husker, former NFLer, and his experience is this, in both locker rooms. I'm sure he had teammates that partook. How do you handle your business? And why, again, are you doing it? Is it for pain? Is it for recreation? Do you have emotional issues? The only thing that makes you feel better is by being stoned? I don't know. I mean, that's kind of my question.
Yeah.
And it's fair from a judgment standpoint to ask that question. And it's a perception problem. and you just had two of your teammates get in trouble for it. Lesson learned, don't do it again. What's the punishment going to be? I found some information. I have a pretty good guess. Eric Olson, Oli, of the Associated Press, had an article on marijuana use and the NCAA's standing on it and the Power Five schools standing on it. And things have been dialed back. This article came out 2015, around December 30th, okay? So the AP article that came out just before 2016 has the following thoughts on marijuana use. And Mike Riley's long-standing policy is this: do the right thing. If you want to get stoned and chill out and just kind of unwind a bit, and it's legal in your state but not in Nebraska, don't do it, or go someplace out of mind, out of sight. Can't green light and condone it, but if you're going to make that decision, are you doing the right thing? The other question I have here too is, how hands-on is or isn't the Riley regime? And my response to that is, I think Coach Riley is going to communicate, going to talk, going to mentor people, but ultimately he's going to let you be an adult, whether you're ready for it or not. So there'll be consequences if you can't handle your standing and stature as a member of the Nebraska football team. What's that going to be? Probably internal punishment for all three, because the fact of life is a third of Power Five schools, per this AP article, they're not punishing athletes for positive tests. And after a second test, the majority of athletes in Power Five schools 10 years ago, that meant a year suspension. Now, some places, you can fail a marijuana test three times before you're busted for just half the season. Other places, like Illinois, have completely separate marijuana laws. The University of Illinois football program has different rules when it comes to testing positive for weed versus other street drugs versus PEDs. Stanford doesn't marijuana test. Okay? 57 of the 65 schools, SEC, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, Notre Dame. 10 schools have separate / less strict policies addressing marijuana infractions. There's alcohol, there's street drugs like heroin and blow, there's PEDs and steroids, and then there's marijuana. It has shifted dramatically in the last 10 years. And the fact of this is, if you are a hard ass about marijuana use with your football program, you are at a competitive disadvantage with schools in your own conference, Purdue, Illinois, just to name a couple in this article, a lot of the Pac-12, and the SEC. The NCAA, it's been suggested to them by their legal counsel to dial back being the morality police when it comes to drugs and let schools police themselves. And the NCAA, in prior years, if you tested positive with their random NCAA-issued drug test, if you got popped for weed, it was a year suspension. Now it's half a year. And I don't think they're testing all that often. They're worried more about PEDs. And again, they're letting schools police themselves. At Oregon State, in 2015, it took four positive marijuana tests before you were kicked off. So there is kind of your linear example of what the punishment will be. There'll be a talking to, probably an internal punishment. Don't do it again. Don't get caught. Be smart. It's illegal here. While that will be the message, the other message is this. I believe some of the folks believe it's not as bad as alcohol. So they're not going to openly condone it, but they're not going to kill you anymore for doing it. And that is the lay of the land.
Those are some fascinating numbers you brought up, so well done by you. I am really shocked that Stanford either thinks they're above that type of thing or they're recruiting players that won't partake in that, that they don't test them at all. So that was really interesting there. But, man, 33%.
They don't test their athletes.
Yeah.
They aren't going to jack with it. And the 12 dudes pulled by the NCAA randomly, roll your own dice. And if you get into Stanford, are you stupid? Not academically. From a common sense standpoint, they trust that you'll make good common sense decisions.
Or even if you partake in that stuff, you're going to get done.
But it's legal now in California, too.
Yep.
I mean, you can get a medical marijuana license. That's the other side of this. We'll talk with Jay about this. Is from a medicinal standpoint, do you want your defensive tackle in the NFL who's played 70 snaps against the Cowboys' offensive line? Let's just paint this picture. Do you want him using prescription painkillers, opiates? Or do you want him eating about 4 gummy bears and putting Pink Floyd on? Just asking. Jay Moore is coming up. His thoughts on this. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. We bring in Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JayMoore44. Get his thoughts on Keyshawn Johnson Jr. and the topic of marijuana. Bird, how we doing?
Good. How you fellas doing?
We're hanging in. No more hail.
Right.
I mean, at least, you know, not yet.
Right.
At least here in Eastern.
Swam to work today.
I did, but I have a snorkel and fins, so it worked out okay. Jay, I wanted to get your thoughts. As we got off the air Saturday morning, 5-10 minutes later, the Omaha World Herald had news of the Keyshawn Johnson Jr. citation for marijuana possession. And I wanted to get your reaction as a former Husker and as a guy who's played at a high level. What is your reaction to it? And here's my thought. I think of the state of Nebraska, the generalize, is being conservative for the most part. So, and if I'm wrong, say I'm wrong, but I think for the most part, there's still kind of a slap in the face reaction to marijuana use, okay? That said, Nebraska's not California, Nebraska's not Washington, Nebraska's not some of these states that have either medical or recreational green lights for it. So you're recruiting kids from all over the country, and what may be scoffed upon in the state of Nebraska by some Nebraskans isn't scoffed upon where some of these kids are coming from. I'm not green lighting or saying, toke up, brother. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that's different strokes for different folks. What's your reaction as a player, former player, to the citation and three Huskers in the last 3 weeks with their name being linked with marijuana?
Yeah, obviously, it's an issue. I don't have I'm trying to do my best to not, you know, to try to not be the get off my lawn guy too much. Mm-hmm. I'm only 33, but I understand what you're saying with Nebraska being very conservative. You know, you show up, you work hard, you do your job, and that's what's expected of you. And then when you kind of do other, you know, make bonehead mistakes, people are like, you know, what's the deal? Why do you need to do this? And here's my kind of get off my lawn kind of take. And with today's kids, and just talking with a lot of the, you know, working around a few of them, being around more of them, kids that are just out of college or even younger, their views on alcohol are a lot different. They think drinking, if you want to call it underage drinking, even when they're as of age, they think it's not healthy for you. they think smoking marijuana is a healthier option for you. It's just a different way to relax and kind of take a load off. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. That was in my view as a 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, whatever it was in college. But I think for the time being, until it's obviously illegal to have marijuana paraphernalia, have whatever, how many ounces it is on you, it's going to be an issue. And let's be honest, I mean, when I was on the team, I think there was plenty of guys that partook. And there was plenty of guys that got in trouble, but they never got in trouble with the police. And so when you get in trouble maybe with a failing an in-house drug test, you can keep that quiet. You can handle things, you know, underneath the desk. You can kind of keep it clean. You can keep it quiet, handle it yourself, punish the kid, make sure he doesn't do it again. But as soon as you start involving the police, that's not the issue. It becomes public knowledge. Papers, magazines, right, you know, people find out about it. And I think it's always going to be an issue. And it's a cultural thing. I think, you know, nowadays with the younger generation, that's part of it. I mean, it's just different. And like I said, I don't think it's ever going to change. But it's unfortunate that you have to bring the police in here, because trust me, there's been plenty of guys who've been kicked off the football team when I was there for marijuana usage, but that never came to the front and center because they're able to say it was for other reasons. You know, you're still able to protect the kid a little bit, but it's unfortunate when you have to bring the police in and you make that mistake. It's just a bad overall look.
Okay, so you're paired with that knowledge of students not thinking that marijuana is the biggest deal as maybe, say, alcohol. So let's have you put on your coaching shoes. If you're Coach Riley or whoever who makes the decision for the discipline, are you going to do something severe that hurts you long-term with recruiting-wise, or are you going to just worry about that individual athlete?
I think it's got to be – you got to handle – well, from my experience, you kind of always had a general disciplinary action for – you know, one strike, two strike, three strikes. You know, it was always, you know, your first strike was a pretty brutal workout. You got punished for it, and it was, and let's be honest, it was an ass kicking of a workout to make sure you never did it again. But some guys, they learn the hard way. But as a coach, I think it's an individual circumstance. I think it's depending on the kid, if it's a strike one or strike three or four, whatever it may be. I don't know Coach Riley's, you know, his stance on everything, but it's tough. But I think you have to handle it individually. I don't think it's the end of the world. I really don't. I have probably a little more lax to it. I think you need to be smart about it. It's just like the NFL guys that get busted for drugs. You know, just don't be stupid. You know, we all know, you know, guys want to have a little fun, whether it's whatever it may be, but don't be dumb, you know, because it's like the guys in the NFL that get busted for a drug test. You only get drug tested once a year for street drugs and marijuana, but guys still do it. I mean, how dumb can you be? You know, so I think it's, going back to your point, your question, TJ, I think you got to handle it individually, because who knows if it's the first time, first mistake. I think everyone's given a second chance, but if you aren't responsible enough and mature enough to, you know, take that second chance and make the most of it, and you want to keep making mistakes, then that's your own fault. And you know, whether it's you're off the team or suspended for multiple games, that's left to up to Coach Riley, and we'll see what happens.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Jay Moore 44, Blackshirt Husker NFL. We're talking about marijuana use with today's athlete. And Jay, wanted to get your thought here from a peer standpoint. Sam McEwen tweeted out earlier today that today's athletes are different in that they're not as in your face to one another. It's, I think one of the tweets said kind of the attitude of you do you. And that to me is very, a very fair characterization. That said, from a peer standpoint, this team's taken a different direction leadership-wise with the 11 captains assigned for the 11 different teams for the offseason. So there's been more of an honest to have more peer leadership, be it Tanner Lee or whoever else. I mean, that's just been an emphasis. Is it up to the guys in that locker room to talk to Stan, to talk to Antonio, to talk to Keyshawn Jr., or is it the job of the coaches, i.e. Coach Riley, to handle this? What's the best way of going about it? Because in my opinion, the leadership style of Riley is less hands-on than the Pelini regime, where Bo's sending guys, you know, a team of dudes to follow Randy Gregory to make sure he went to class. Well, right. Riley's going to want you to mature yourself, and if you want a drink of water, you're going to go up to the water fountain and get it. Riley will tell you where the water's at, but he ain't going to get you a glass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it has to be both. I think sometimes when a coach is on you about things, it kind of falls on deaf ears. It's kind of like when your parents are always constantly on you about something, you're kind of like, yeah, sure, kind of in one ear, out the other. But when it comes from your up here, and I don't think, you know, it's, I think they need to understand that, hey, be smart. You know, be smart. It's, you know, you're in college. Be smart. You're able, you know, just, it's a bad look for not only the team, but for you. Mm-hmm. It's illegal, but just be smart about it. If you think, you know, this is what you want to do, or this is what you think you need to do, or just, I think, you know, it needs to address it, is just take care of it. Or do what be 100% smart, absolutely 100% sure about your actions. And you're not only affecting yourself, but you're affecting this whole team. Mm-hmm. You're affecting everyone else. Your actions, your irresponsibilities, it's a bad look on the whole team. And it can affect the whole team negatively, especially a guy like Stanley Morgan. I mean, that guy is, you know, he's 1A, probably best offensive player on the team right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bad look. But the players got to pull you aside and listen. It's just like, you know what, you have to. This is not L.A. anymore. You are a big fish in a small pond now. Where it's kind of the roles were reversed. You're kind of a small fish in a very, very big pond in L.A. or wherever you may be. Mm-hmm. All eyes are on you at all times. You cannot slip up. You want to, you know, make an ass of yourself in public, people are going to know about it. You know, it's just, that's the way it is here, and you have to be responsible and think about what you're doing at all times of the day anymore, especially with social media too. It's just the way it is. So I think from a player standpoint, you have to do that. And if stuff keeps happening, then you got to pick it up a notch. You got to take things in your own hands. It's, you know, more punishment, more, you know, 4 a.m., 4:30 in the morning workouts. It's, you know, doing the things necessary to make sure that these false steps don't ever happen again.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Jay, hang on the line. We're against a break. A couple more thoughts from you in a minute here on this, when we're talking marijuana and Jay's perspective on it as a Husker and NFL player. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. They are eco-friendly. They are beautiful. They are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history, and all for 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. See why they're so gorgeous. And see Rick today, Nebraska's exclusive dealer, pure-grown diamonds, only and exclusively at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. Log on now to SauterHeyman.com. More with Jay Moore coming up as we continue on a Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
A little bit more with Jay Moore here on Hail Varsity Radio. Back with you, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. And don't forget your chance to qualify for the smoker, no pun intended. A few more minutes here with Jay Moore. Talking to a guy over the weekend who played small college ball And his take on it was, look, I don't smoke, but if smoking was an option over Percocet or the opioids, that's a better alternative. I've not had injuries due to my athletic career, which may shock you. But in your experience with teammates, is it they like the feel? It's the same as cracking a beer? Or is it a way to numb and dull some of the pain versus some other stuff that you could really get hooked on?
Yeah, I think it's a way to take the edge off. You know, I know a lot of guys that, you know, in the NFL that once that drug test came around training camp and they were done, it was a weekly occurrence. And it was a way to take the edge off. It wasn't like every day, but it was once or twice a week, especially after a game on Sunday and maybe on your day off on Tuesday, because that's what it was. It helped calm you down. It helps, you know, ease your mind, ease your body a little bit too. And there's been plenty of reports and HBO specials and mm-hmm. whatever you want to call about former players going towards medicinal or medical marijuana to help with all the aches and pains. And I don't know. I'm feeling okay right now. And I don't. I've been on the high pain meds, but I couldn't tell you one or the other, mm-hmm. the difference between the two. But I get it. I understand it. And when you are, and I've been in times where I've been in pain, whether it's back and it's elbows and it's, you know, just your body is just aching. Hey, it's 4 or 5 Aleve or Advil or Tylenol in the morning. It might be a couple more throughout the day, and it's a lot. And some guys are thinking, you know what, this is hard on my kidneys, this is hard on my liver, this is hard on my body. Let's do something a little more natural to help out everything. And you know what, it's sometimes you do what you got to do to make your body feel good, put your mind at rest, and if it helps to make you feel better, then you know what, more power to you.
Jay Moore with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Jay Moore 44, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay, thanks for a few minutes on this, man. We'll catch up with you this week, bud. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
Jay, appreciate his time and his thoughts on the subject, on the topic. Let's shift gears, talk some recruiting over the weekend. Cameron Brown, talented wideout from St. Louis Christian
Brothers.
Please
respect my decision.
Yeah. do you know anybody?
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Do you know anybody who was engaged and then it was called off?
Yeah.
And we're not talking at the altar, that scene from hell where the bride or the groom says, I'm out. Sorry. Just kidding.
Yeah, I know people have ended engagements.
Okay, right. Well, would you rather have it done a month after the yes or the day before the I do supposed to happen? The question I have here is, what does Nebraska do now? They try and go find other 2018 wide receivers. They've emphasized St. Louis because of the talent pool down there in the 500-mile radius. They've toured the world when it comes to prospects in high school and potential college football standouts. California, Florida, Georgia, Texas, St. Louis the past week. So that's what Nebraska's got to ask themselves. And does Nebraska still go after Cameron Brown? They just got dumped. Is it restraining order, or is it, I'm going to take this other person to prom, but I might call you back later? That's my question. How much resource do you continue to invest if you're Nebraska? You're in St. Louis, that region, that area this weekend. Kid from the area isn't there for this camp. Where's he at? He's at Ohio State camp. Okay? Period. As soon as Nebraska got the commitment, here comes Alabama, here comes Ohio State. You're not as pretty as those two. Mm. Until you beat them or get a chance at them,
or get on the stage they're on,
you're always going to be an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
So do you turn and double your efforts on finding as good or better players that may be under the radar or not as publicized or not as high maintenance? That's a decision for Coach Dubb and Coach Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, Nebraska needs to make a dent and keep fishing in Missouri. And they need to be as good as they once were in the state of Missouri fishing. They were tremendous. They got who they wanted, and they were absolutely 1,000% right with the Steve Warrens, with the Dan Alexanders, with the Grant Wistroms, with the Banderases, with the Rutgers, okay? They killed it. Anytime they went into Show Me State, came out with a frickin' winner, period. There's some that probably didn't pan out, but I have a fond memory of Missouri kids that came to Nebraska. So in this instance, right now, no interviews. I'd like to thank the Nebraska program and fans for supporting me through everything. After talking with my parents, I will be decommitting from Nebraska. Nebraska is still one of my top schools, but at this time, I feel like it's best to reopen my recruitment. In Nebraska, I don't know their policy, but they seem to be the non-jealous type where you may commit to us, but if you're going to go shop around, it's all good. We understand. Mm-hmm. Go live life.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you cheat, okay? Mm-hmm. And when you go to Ohio State's camp, when Nebraska's in Cameron Brown's backyard, that isn't cool. That isn't a good thing. There is your sign about his interest level in you when someone belts, well, someone better else offered, like Bama, like Ohio State. So you're going to have to keep recruiting this kid regardless.
Yeah.
Do you do it now that he's dumped you? And you got to weigh the decision. Is the guy super talented? Yes. See a guy you want and need at receiver? Yeah. What's going to help make that argument for you? What's doubt with him? Well, he's seen Ohio State get the college football playoff or go to the New Year's Day Six Bowl. They don't have a better passing quarterback, in my opinion, but you've seen somebody like a Barrett or whoever's going to be next at Ohio State, because Barrett ain't there, but you know what Ohio State's going to run. You know they're going to win with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that yet at Nebraska. You feel good about Tanner Lee, feel good about Patrick O'Brien, you feel good about Tanner Lee, already said, but Tristan Jebbia. That's what's being whispered into Cameron Brown's ear, in my opinion, right now, by Ohio State's whack job wide receivers coach. You know what we can do? You know what we've done throwing the football? You don't know about Nebraska. Same with Alabama. There's a guy named Julio in the league. I know we're pro style and we are smash mouth, but we have sent a guy number 6 overall to the league. Who's the kid with Oakland that's a...
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper's pretty awesome, too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got two examples the last 10 years of sweet Alabama receivers. Come be that guy. Those are the two sales pitches going on that are conflicting Cameron Brown when you have nothing on film right now but Tommy Armstrong throwing the football.
Yeah, and maybe it's Nebraska since you're the one getting dumped. You can check in with the text a month later, you know. The random, how are you? How's it going? He'll always know you're the first one to love him.
What are you doing tonight?
You up.
What you doing tonight, baby? All right, well, wind down hour one. 10 minutes away from Charlie McBride.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Good stuff from Jay Moore earlier this hour on marijuana, drug use, and not his. Let's be clear on that. His reaction. It's a better way to term it. On the Keyshawn Johnson Jr. news over the weekend, we'll get caught up with Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride in 10 minutes. Will Bolt, Texas A&M assistant, former Nebraska associate head coach, and standout and captain for those early 2000 CWS teams for Coach Van Horn in Nebraska baseball. That in about 40 minutes. Your chance shortly to qualify for the Smokin' Hot Dad Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker. That giveaway on Friday will qualify this hour and next hour. TJ, how was the beach on Lake Michigan? What'd you think of Notre Dame?
Lake Michigan was really nice. Almost too nice, like you think they brought that sand in from somewhere else. But really enjoyed that. Notre Dame, man, what a beautiful campus.
It is awesome. It's been a billion years since I've been there, but yeah.
I would love to go back there for a fall game day. I mean, that place, absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, South Bend has kind of come in hard economic times since about the 1960s. So, you know, I thought Lincoln had bad potholes, but boy, you go to South Bend and it's a whole nother world on those roads. But, yeah, man, I was blown away by Notre Dame.
Where'd you
campus.
Go have lunch? Were you in South Bend or were you in on the campus of Notre Dame for lunch?
Didn't have lunch on Notre Dame's campus. Finally got to do a Steak and Shake. I've always wanted to try that. Kind of let down.
Yeah, I could.
It did not live up to the hype.
Could have told you that.
Yeah.
Did you go to Linebacker's Bar?
Did not.
Why?
I mean, there's a lot, you know, we didn't get to everything. I was only there for about 2 days.
That's where you go. You go to see Touchdown Jesus, you go to the stadium, and you go to Linebacker's Bar. Everything else you skip.
Okay. I mean, that's honestly not bad advice, but I'll remember that next time I go
in
there.
In hindsight, you're like, yeah, I went to go tour the city of South Bend and left crying. Listen, I told Kranak on Saturday that you went to South Bend, and you're like, and he just unloaded on the poor town.
Yeah, I was trying to be nice. But man,
it
was struggling. It's come on hard times.
But at least you got the scenic view of Lake Michigan a la the Road to Perdition scene.
Yeah.
Okay. The end before it got super bloody where there was a very beautiful beach home.
Yeah, don't get the reference, but I'll see that movie eventually maybe.
Right. It's Tom Hanks and it's a gangster movie.
Hey, can one of you other men come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking! Oh, yeah, there's your signal. Caller 9, Smoking Hot Dad, 1-800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 9 now qualifies for the Smokin' Hot Dad electric smoker and the goodies from Leon's Gourmet Grocer, $250 gift card, also the gift basket from Leon's and a steak certificate. Caller 9, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get big, big.
We get big, big.
Boom, big, big.
Boom, big, big.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, DJ Henning, we heard from Jay Moore in Hour 1. It is that time. On a Monday, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, brought to you by your friends at Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus. Emeritus helping protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. 130 years and counting of keeping their promises. Emeritus giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand with Husker Athletics. Proud to bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how are we doing today?
Great. Doing good. I realize I'm doing good. Either if I'm doing bad, I'm doing good.
Well, that's we got about 4,000 inches of rain in eastern Nebraska today. Started about 6 a.m. I don't know if it's all going to come your way. I'm just telling you to get a raft ready.
And I will. I know. My house is falling down anyway. I have to have a new side of my house in the basement put in. So it's fun. You know what I mean? I can.
Did you get.
So all the water that's hit the side of the hill that's hit the side of the house. So then I had a guy out. I don't want to ever have a price for any of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good luck with that.
Oh, boy.
Well, here's to you with hoping that basement works out okay.
It'll work out.
Well, good. Coach, I wanted to ask you about the news over the weekend and kind of get your reaction with Keyshawn Johnson Jr. Mm-hmm. and another marijuana situation with a Nebraska player, the third. in as many weeks, about 3 weeks. When you look at Antonio Reed and Stanley Morgan Jr.'s, the news of that a couple of weeks ago. And I did some research, and the NCAA and a number of the Power Five schools, they've really, really dialed back the penalties associated with positive tests with marijuana. Now, I know getting caught with paraphernalia isn't a positive test, but it's still an arrest. It's still a misdemeanor. So I wanted to kind of get your reaction with what the NCAA has done, and even schools themselves. The NCAA's asked more schools to kind of police themselves, and there's some schools that don't even test for marijuana, and if they do, there's kind of a separate rules and regulations with marijuana tests versus other street drugs and then the PEDs and all of that stuff. What's your take on this drug culture in college? Do you think it's worse, the same, or do you know?
It's really discouraging to me. I'm an old man though too. You know, people look at me like you get a life. You know, sometimes but I'll tell you what I do know is I've been through enough, read enough books, and read enough things about it, and talked to enough people who have been involved in it, and how marijuana leads to other things. People just the worst thing about it is you smoke enough of it, you're not getting high enough, so you need something else.
Okay.
And you go on to something else, and then that turns into another category. And, you know, that's the thing you worry about. It sometimes, you hear about people, parents even smoking in the house with their kids there, and, you know, it doesn't seem to be any big deal to them. So, you know, it's the culture, it's the change, it's a revolution, I think, in the country of even the police. I know out in Phoenix they were talking about how do we can do alcohol, we can test it for alcohol exactly, but they don't have any measurement, you know, for the drug part of it, mm-hmm. as far as numbers or anything. And that, of course, that's going to come on. Somebody, that's going to happen. But you know, all of this stuff. We used to test. You know, everybody knew when we were testing. They didn't know who was getting tested, and that was on every Monday. So you figure after a weekend where kids would be doing something, you know, on a weekend maybe, or after a game or during, you know, practice time and stuff. But then a group would be called out, whether it be the quarterbacks and receivers or the defensive backs and the, you know, whatever. They did not test the whole team. But it was just a matter of time. And in past times, we had heard things about, you know, doing drug tests. I think way back, even part of it was maybe at the end of Devaney time, that they, and I don't know at first that for a fact, but I know that before I came, there was some testing, and people were saying that, well, they're hiding, you know, the specimens under their shirt, and they're pouring a bottle or something at somebody else's specimen and all this kind of stuff. So there were all kinds of ways, but then it got to a point where both men and women, people would sit there right there when you were, you know, when you were going, and to be sure you didn't have anything, you know, illegal or something, you know, in front of it. So, you know, then I think all the colleges went through the steroid era. You know, at one time I remember the first person I know that got picked up or got in trouble with steroids was a shot putter out of Beatrice, was on the Olympic team, I think it was, way back when, and he was suspended from the Olympic team for steroids. And to be honest with you, that's the first time I ever even thought about it or thought anything of it. I mean, I never heard of them really before, and that happened, and then that became a big thing, and it ran right through all the colleges. Players were taking steroids all over the place. And, of course, that era kind of ended. I think there's other things now that they do that are safe, maybe, or I don't know what, you know. But there's always one way, and I've always told the president of the university, you want to find out about rules. I said, just make one up and get 10 assistant coaches in a room, and they'll show you how to bust the rule.
Let's get creative.
The whole world is. I think the one thing about college, though, is I think they got to come with a common, you know, some common rule that's pretty much the same at every place, because, you know, it's one of those things, well, they don't have them over here, so I'm going to go to school there, then I can smoke marijuana, mm-hmm. you know, or they don't, you know, so you get that kind of thing. But, you know, going to other things, I'm here in Michigan, and Michigan hides a lot of stuff, but Michigan State just gets hammered, and they have a lot of real problems with sexual assaults and things like that, which is really discouraging. Mm-hmm.
Charlie McBride is with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, I want to shift gears. Article that Brandon Vogel did today highlighted, I know we talked run-pass option, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago. But here's the question here, back to rules and regulations. College football's got a decision to make, because right now, offensive linemen are allowed 3 yards downfield. The rule allows for 3 yards, maybe four, depending on the real time of it. The offensive linemen are only allowed a yard downfield in the NFL. So you can still do the run-pass option based on the fact that linemen are allowed 3 yards downfield. Should they dial back how far offensive linemen in college are allowed to be downfield, or do you think they should keep it the way it is? Because defensive coaches and coordinators are pretty fired up about trying to stop this. And I'm talking Will Muschamp. He's a defensive guy. Kirby Smart isn't a fan of it. Mm-hmm. And he asked the question Kirby did. Are we trying to promote kids to the NFL? Are we trying to see how many points can be scored to keep this thing entertaining for TV? And I'm wondering your thoughts here. Do you like the rule of 3 yards? Do you think it should be dialed back? How do you react to it?
Well, I you know, the whole thing is when it happened, you know, I don't even remember a rule. I know they could go downfield as long as the guy caught the ball behind the line of scrimmage and da-da-da-da-da, right. How many yards it was. I can't even remember exactly. But they're caught in between a 3 and a 1, and you might as well just set it at 2, and that keeps everybody happy. And, you know, but you know, this, but you know, for a defensive player, coach, and for their scheme, you know, 1 yard or 2 or 3 are, no matter which one it is, it's so hard. I think 3 is too much.
Okay.
So 2 or 1 to me is a little more sane, but it's a hard thing to judge by. Another thing official has to do is do that. Mm-hmm. They keep adding things to these guys, and then they call them idiots. Right. You know, I mean, you know, you really wonder why these officials even do what they're doing, because it's nothing but a line of criticism afterwards. Or he was 2 feet different. He had been 2 feet more or one, and then you get into the, you know, the television. They got television cameras all over the place in the NFL, which they don't have really in college. They're not that sophisticated, mm-hmm. as they are in the NFL. But I think that's right. I think that, you know, being downfield 3 yards is that's a lot. And, you know, it really gives, to me, it gives an advantage. And I know, the NFL has played enough football to know that, you know, 1 yard is probably, you know, for them, the answer, mm-hmm. you know. But when you're talking about more option football and more speed option stuff and, you know, the pass off of it, that 3 yards is really giving people an advantage. I mean, really big time. And so I think they ought to scale it back.
Coach, wanted to wrap up with this. Your thoughts on Bob Stoops, his career, and are you surprised he called her quits last week?
Well, I kind of felt really bad when it did. I almost picked up the phone, but you know, when you do that, then it because Bob and Mike both were at Kansas State when we were there, and I got to know them very well, mm-hmm. and we talked a lot about football, and we talked a lot of things, especially at the convention. We spent a lot of time together, and I got to, especially with Bob, I got to know him pretty good, and I was surprised. But, you know, when you see a little of the things that he didn't want to end his life you know, coaching, like maybe Coach Snyder. Maybe he just didn't want to do it that way and stay in it that long. And, you know, it just maybe he felt like it was a time. At first I thought, well, maybe there was something came up with, you know, sometimes coaches, when they have all this stuff going on with marijuana, with all this assault stuff and all these other things, you just say, you know what, enough is enough, and I've made a lot of money, and I'm out, you know. But I don't think that was it. And he just, you know, I think he just decided that he felt like you lose enthusiasm. When you get older, you know, all of a sudden the recruiting going in the house gets to be your old hat, and when you're a head coach, it's even more pressure on you and things like that. Now, some guys are, you know, made different, and but that was his choice, and, you know, I respect him for it. I mean, it's he wants to have some kind of a life besides every, you know, Friday, Saturday, going out on the field and preparing every year and, you know, and that kind of thing. And he's done a lot of great things in the game, and he should be very satisfied with what he's done. So it isn't like he got pushed out of coaching.
No, and Coach, about 90 seconds here. I think it's just becoming, really, it's becoming 365, 24/7. I mean, I think that's just the way it is, the way recruiting's ramped up in the earlier signing period. And the last 18 years at Oklahoma is a miracle, not because he's not talented or great. It's just because of the expectations there. Do you agree?
Yeah. Right. The expectations, even at Nebraska or anybody that's been at the big game and won it and things like that, then the expectations. I remember the governor got up when we won in 94. We were at the Devaney Center, and all the kids and, you know, students are in there. The place is going nuts, and the governor, the first thing he says, and we're going to do it again next year. Tom, I was standing right next to him up on this podium or wherever the heck we were on. Thought we were going to all fall in the thing, but he said, geez, they're not even going to give us to enjoy this one, you know. So it's already next year. And, you know, you just felt like sinking in a, you know. It wasn't one of the better things that to say. Of course, all the students went nuts, but all the coaches, the players, they're just sitting there going, like, give us a break, will you?
That was pretty good. Hey, it was easy. No, it wasn't. Charlie McBride with Hail Varsity Radio. Mondays with Charlie. Coach, keep up the good work on that basement. And we'll,
I'm having fun.
Yeah, right. We'll talk again next week. We love catching up with you. Thanks for a few minutes.
Okay. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds good. All right,
okay.
Coach.
Bye now.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie. Love him. He's the best. I can just see that expression. Hey, let's do it again. Thanks for volunteering us. They did do it again. 6 month subscription, how about it? Inside info, recruiting updates, breaking news, and a phenomenal message board community, all part of HailVarsity.com, the ultimate online fan experience. Caller 4, caller 5, right now for that free 6 month online subscription, courtesy of HailVarsity.com. Caller 4, caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776. Caller 4, caller 5 now, a subscription for you to HailVarsity.com, 800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. TJ, I'll get you taken care of. Caller 4, caller 5 right now. Former Husker assistant, now at Texas A&M. They're headed to the CWS. Will Bolt next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. College World Series just around the corner, and Texas A&M back in Omaha. Assistant coach, former Husker Will Bolt with us back on the show. Coach Bolt, thanks for a few minutes. How are you today?
Oh, man, I couldn't be doing much better, to be honest with you. Pretty excited to get back to that big tournament in the Midwest.
It's going to be exciting to see yourself, Coach Childress, a native Lincolnite, and Logan Foster in Omaha.
Coach Seeley, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I left one out, and Coach Seeley, it's like old times, right? Getting back to Omaha, huh?
Yeah, we're obviously ecstatic. having played in that ballpark quite a bit, just being at Nebraska and playing a Big Ten tournament there and knowing the way it plays and those kind of things, we can kind of relay some of that stuff to our players.
Coach, what did you think about this A&M team? Let's go back to February. You knew you had talent. Did you see your guys reaching this level? I mean, that's the goal, obviously. It's one thing to want it, and it's another thing to do it, and you guys were able to persevere through and have a phenomenal season and reach Omaha. What were your expectations heading into the year?
Well, the expectations here, you know, just like any other top program, just like it is at Nebraska or Cal State Fullerton or Florida or just or wherever you are, is to, you know, to reach a College World Series. So I think from the probably outside looking in, this was a rebuilding year. You know, for us, just we had 13 players drafted last year, most of the country, 12 signed. The one that didn't was a pretty big one, and Brigham Hill has been our ace all year long. But, you know, just the expectation was obviously to be in this spot now over the course of the season. That I'd be lying if I said I thought that this team could make it. Just from there's some inconsistencies there. This is a talented team, but it's very inexperienced in that we start freshmen in the 2-3-4 holes most days. Sometimes, you know, hit 4 or 5 freshmen in the lineup. And the guys that the older players, the seniors, have always been role players. Mm. So they've never been asked to carry the load, you know, a whole lot. So from that standpoint, we had an awful lot to replace. But the expectation of winning is everything. You know, we've been in the Super Regionals 2 years in a row and just got our hearts absolutely ripped out of our chest. And we had some guys that have been to both of those Super Regionals that are still on our roster, and that experience is irreplaceable. I mean, we were able to learn from some things that, you know, we needed to do better. We addressed that with the team, you know, this week prior to, and you know, so those things, that expectation of winning, though, and, you know, expecting to win a regional, you know, expecting to, then you get to 2 out of 3 and anything can happen. Well, we had some good fortune in that we were able to stay home and play at home. And even though Davidson was one of the best, one of the hottest teams in the country, and they just went to the number 2 national seed and rolled through that regional 3-0, being able to play at home and, you know, having a chance to win 2 out of 3, you know, we'll take our chances.
Will Bolt with us here on Hail Varsity Radio at Coach Bolt Ags on Twitter, and A&M going to be in Omaha for the CWS. Coach, as kind of the offensive coordinator and hitting instructor, how do you communicate, build confidence, and also teach the necessary and correct approach to those freshmen? I mean, you're right on with how inexperienced your team is, but from an offensive standpoint, it looks like these young pups have delivered and then some. How was your approach with them going into the season? How did it kind of mature with their action and ability as the season went on?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty evident early on, and just seeing this group of freshman position players take batting practice for the first time, and even our older guys were kind of looking at us like going, are you serious? Like, these guys are good. Like, these guys can play. And, you know, they're running off BP, you know, like veterans. And that's, you know, you don't always see that, guys that are that talented that get to school. We were fortunate enough to have some guys turn down some pretty big money in the draft. We only lost one of our position player draftees, our signees, I'm sorry. And so we knew we had the talent. You know, as far as approach goes, I mean, a lot of these guys, because of the way recruiting's gone now, we've had committed for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So they've been coming to games here. They know, they've seen how offensive we've been, you know, the prior 2 years, kind of what our offensive approach is. And so those guys really have stepped up immediately. And Braden Shoemake is a special, special player. You know, we've hit him in the 3-hole as a freshman since day one. And he's, you know, obviously won a lot of accolades and, you know, SEC Freshman of the Year, first team All-SEC, you know, All-American, you know, you name it, he's done it. And he's been there from the get-go. And Logan Foster got off to a fantastic start, had a rough patch in there, but has come back from it. So, you know, Hunter Coleman's hitting in the four hole for us, and now he's no longer a freshman because he's got so many at-bats over the course of the year. So you just really just got to throw him in the fire and say, hey, this is what you got to do, you know, to be successful at this level. And they really, you know, bought into it. And we just, you know, we've been inconsistent this year offensively. Our team has really built more pitching and defense than it has been the last 2 years. But that's, you know, that's what sustains is being scrappy at the plate, getting some big hits and pitching and playing defense. So it's been a good mix here since postseason run.
Was there a tipping point this season, either a series or a game with this team that you saw maybe turn the corner from good to great or bordering on great to reach Omaha?
Yeah, there's been several moments throughout the year where, you know, we could have – the season could have gone and just really folded, honestly. I mean, we're off to a great start, and we had two – we got walked off twice at Minute Maid, a 10-5 lead on TCU, obviously a big rival of ours. You know, we're up 10-5 in the ninth inning, and we're rolling. You know, they've got their – you know, guy that turned down first round money pitching against us, and we get him out in the first inning. And like I said, we're up 10-5 in the ninth, and we lose that game. And then we get walked off the next day, blow a 3-1 lead the next day. And that was a gut punch for this team. And like I said, a lot of inexperience on the roster, and we kind of barely kept our heads above water after that for a couple of weeks. Kind of stunned us a little bit. 0-5 in conference play. I think we gave up 20 runs to Vanderbilt on Saturday, game two of the series, and we're 0-5 in the league. And, you know, I think the players got together and said, hey, we're better than what we're playing. You know, we don't need to worry about the results. Just focus on, you know, being the best we can be that day. And we won, found a way to win, you know, that game on Sunday. And then LSU the next weekend, we're going on the road. It's like, okay, we're 1-5 in league. Now we're playing at LSU. We win Friday, lose Saturday, and then Sunday we're down 4-0 in the ninth inning, and we win. And that to me, that game was the one that propelled us, because we ended up winning that series, and then we said, okay, all right, here we go. We got a chance to do some things. We got back home, and you know, the guys just kind of started believing at that point. And again, we didn't finish the season strong at all. We were 1-done in the SEC tournament, but we had some good preparation after that going into the regional, and here we are.
Couple more minutes. Will Bolt with us, Hail Varsity Radio assistant at Texas A&M, standout at Nebraska, assistant at Nebraska. Coach, let's spend a couple of minutes here on Logan Foster, just a tremendous player in Lincoln at Southwest and having a great freshman season and All-American. Logan's ability is shown through his mental toughness is there to perform like he has this season as a freshman, but getting from Lincoln to Aggieland, describe how he went from Lincoln to A&M. I mean, it's an in-state kid that Nebraska fans would love to see in red, but he's doing well in SEC country. Take us through a little bit of your relationship with him.
Well, Logan, you know, he's been a good player, you know, ever since he was in eighth grade. I mean, when he was in eighth grade, he came to our Stars of Tomorrow camp at Nebraska and hit a home run, you know, at Haymarket, at Hawkins Field. And so, you know, he's Tom Mott's cousin, you know, teammate of mine. And so we've known Logan for a long time, and his personal relationship with Coach Childers is that he went to daycare with Hannah, which is Coach's daughter, and so they knew each other well, and obviously the connection with Tom Ott and Coach Childers, and so that was kind of the bond there, and kind of Logan had come down to Texas A&M camp throughout the years as well, and kind of this was always where he, you know, envision himself playing. I think that connection with Coach Childers ended up being, you know, everything in the recruiting process with Logan.
Coach, a thought here on your time at Nebraska, and what was the culture, I guess, is the better question, that was at Nebraska that you guys instilled to go from what Nebraska baseball had been to new heights never seen?
It's everything about just pouring everything you have into every pitch of every game and just being very, very competitive. All the things that Coach Erstad preaches and does and shows up daily to do. And just, you know, our teams were very, very talented as well. But we had a certain belief that we were going to win an inning in every situation. And, you know, you do that, then you typically have pretty good results, especially when you have good players. So really proud of the job that Darren did this year. Amazing season, winning the Big Ten. And it's just the postseason is so, it's such a, I mean, it's just crazy. It's nuts. You just never know what's going to happen. And I know that, you know, Darren has done an amazing job at Nebraska, getting Nebraska back into regionals regularly. And, you know, he definitely has Nebraska, you know, trending in the right direction, 100%.
Will Bolt with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, congrats again to your squad and Coach Childress. Best of luck in Omaha. We'll catch up again, and thanks for a few minutes today with Hale Varsity.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
There he is. He's Will Bolt, assistant at Texas A&M, associate head coach for a while at Nebraska, and kind words there on what Nebraska accomplished in baseball, and you'll be able to see Coach Childress, Coach Bolt, and the rest of the folks that used to be in Lincoln in Omaha for the CWS. Caller 5 right now, a 4-pack of Salt Dogs tickets. Caller, what'd I say, 4? Caller 5.
Former Blackshirt Jay
five
Moore.
Now
that
Salt
thing
Dog
is
tickets.
Big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Thanks to Will Bolt. Game 5, NBA Finals tonight. Whew. Well, we asked on Friday, could Cleveland get one? It was way off. Thought they'd be swept. Thought they'd be dead. Thought it was over. What backbone King James and company showed. They got a little mad, a little feisty, a little furious. Incredible effort, great first half, yada, yada, yada. And they hung on and won. Well, I ask you again, can Cleveland not get one, but get a second? And I thought this was interesting. Tim Donaghy asserting that NBA basketball is maybe a little funky. There'll be a strong urge by the league office to make sure there's a game 6. And listen, there's too many owners. It's too much social media. No one's that quiet to have a fix work.
Yeah.
Or happen first of all. Second of all, what do you think happens tonight? Is it A? Let's just go down the list. A, do you think it'll be competitive for 4 quarters?
I hope so. I hope it goes another game at least.
You want it to get to 6.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing.
If we didn't get 16-0, I wish it would have been at least 2-2. But let's keep going now that we didn't get to 16-0.
Let's make this thing what it's supposed to be, the reason you all been watching, because you wanted to see excellence.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the two best.
Yeah, and you have been watching. It's the best rated since MJ's 98 finals.
Mm-hmm. So does Cleveland go get another? Because here's what I think happens. I mean, you want to talk about pucker factor and just pressure magnified by a billion versus just normal game-winning free throws in the regular season. If Cleveland gets another, I mean, does Golden State fall into this, oh, my God, it's happening again?
I think that would happen game 7 if it were to happen. I don't, game
so
six.
So if they blow a 3-0 lead and it's even at 3-3, then game seven is all Cleveland, you're telling me?
It's all Golden State pressure-wise.
Yes. Yeah, I'm saying it's all Cleveland's to win.
Yeah, yeah. But up until game six, it would still be the pressure to be on Cleveland because you're the home team. You got to get that thing done. But look, man, it's never.
I have a dirty feeling Cleveland wins tonight and then Golden State closes it out in game six.
At least that's another game, so I wouldn't mind that. But look, 0-126 all time. When somebody leads 3-0, nobody's ever come back. If there's one man who can do it, it's possibly the greatest basketball player ever in LeBron James. So anything is possible, as somebody once said.
Yes. Well, Draymond Green asked today if their mind gets wandering to last year, and shortly we'll hear from Draymond. Thoughts from Draymond and Tyronn Lue and Kevin Love, as it is interesting tonight. You'll be watching. You might be listening. And it is all about that drama. How does Golden State respond to a chance to be perfect? How does Cleveland respond to more life? Here's Draymond.
I don't, you know, think too much about it. It's just, you know, the next game in line, and like I said, it's a closeout game. Those are the hardest ones, so, you know, just excited about the opportunity.
Okay, so he gave you a canned, well, we had another shot at it. It's okay. Things are fine. You know, here's Kevin Love, cut two. Can that game four performance be replicated by Cleveland?
It's tough to do any game. I mean, we set the tone early. We're in a desperate situation, being down three games. So we came out, hit big shots. We used the crowd, and Warren, I think, got to the free throw line and just played physical.
They were physical. They got to the rim and they hit every outside shot. They launched 25 threes. They fed off that crowd something fierce. Do they have enough energy, Teach, to feed off themselves and feed off the negative energy of the Golden State crowd?
Yeah, so the Cavs are going to have to continue to be physical like they were in Game 4. I mean, Ty Lue said that they were too nice up into Game 4, so they got to continue to be physical. So we'll see if they'll be able to manage to do that. Got to be able to hit threes again. Again, they probably won't hit a record-setting 24 threes like they did Game 4. But if you can at least hit 16...
What, you're saying that was an anomaly?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was a bit of an outlier. That's something the Houston Rockets maybe do once a week during the regular season, but not the Cleveland Cavaliers. But if they can hit at least 16, they'd be in good shape for this game. But it's still going to take a lot to pull it off tonight.
Here's Tyronn Lue. What worked in Game 4, cut 3? And I love listening to Lue, and I'm hoping Cleveland. Usually I don't root, but I want to see a Game 6.
Just our physicality. I thought we brought a physicality to the game. I thought our defensive mindset was really good. And I thought offensively we really played with a pace. We shared the basketball. We moved bodies. And it was very effective for us. So we got to have a carryover to Game 5.
They know that. They were also playing with nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. Let's say thanks to our crowd. This could be our last home game. Different mindset and scenario. And they showed up like the champions they are on Friday night. Now they've traveled. Draymond's ticked off the city of Cleveland. Just from a juiciness standpoint, it'd be cool to see it go back to Game 6. Have those comments, have 2 days worth of re-airing in Cleveland, and put the pressure back on Golden State. Because that's what we don't know. We know how this team a year ago responded to playing with the lead and having success, and you know some guys were dinged, Steph specifically.
And Draymond was out Game 5.
He was out Game 5 because he lost his mind.
Yep.
So you know that they didn't handle their business well a year ago. Now they've got a new component in KD.
Yes, a huge component.
And how has he handled his business? Because they were up 3-1 a year ago, too, on Golden State. They couldn't handle the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleveland just kept chipping away. What's weird, though, is Cleveland won a year ago Game 3 to make it 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
Then they lost Game 4, and then they went 2 straight to take it.
Yep, so they won 4 out of 5.
They won 4 out of 5.
Can you win 4
now they got to win 4 in a row.
That's just a whole different monster, and I don't see anybody doing that against this Golden State team.
When I think of like some of the great teams that got in holes, and I think of Jordan's Bulls a couple of times. In year, in the first three-peat, they got down in the second year trying to defend their title, I think, to Cleveland.
I believe you're right.
And then they got down 2-0 to the Knicks, and they won four straight against Ewing and company to get to the finals. This was the semis. They were just bored, and they figured it out. Some high moments of drama and tension, though.
Yeah.
But you had MJ to lean on. It'll be.
Hope it keeps going.
Dare we say entertaining? It'll be entertaining tonight. Let's just hope it's going to push towards a game six.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding down a Monday of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Many thanks to Charlie McBride, Texas A&M assistant and former Husker assistant and standout Will Bolt, as the Ags are on to Omaha. And a ton of fun to get caught up with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer, and his thoughts on marijuana use. TJ Henning, tremendous. Chris Schmidt. If you miss any part of the program, we invite you to log on, HailVarsity.com. And get the podcast. Take us with you. Check out the ESPN 1480 app. And, of course, iTunes. Subscribe to that. Doesn't cost nothing. And just have it download automatically. And just catch us on your time, on your calendar, on your schedule. Mitch Sherman tomorrow. We are efforting a 10-year NBA vet tomorrow. We'll see if that happens or not. Topic we didn't get to today, we might dive into tomorrow. Since it is June and list season, some memorable games the last decade from Nebraska football. We can get into that. TJ Henning is rubbing the stubble on his chin, shaking his head, going, yeah, that sounds okay. Just wait, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And those dark little bits of stubble.
Yeah, I gotta shave.
That will turn gray and white. I go 2 or 3 days, I look like frickin' Santa on the side of my face.
Oh, no. Too harsh on yourself, man.
Silver fox, baby.
There you go.
The fox. So, that is the plan. I hope wherever you're hearing us that hail and torrential downpours cease.
Yeah, that seemed like that came out of nowhere. I didn't think we were supposed to
get rain. Oh, man, I got a call at 6:30 this morning from the Mama Bunny. She's on her way. She's a nurse. And she's like, well, now that I've vacated the parking garage underneath, why don't you park your car in there so you don't get pelted? I'm like, half awake. That's a great idea, dear. So I get Carson up. She didn't leave the garage door opener. She couldn't. So I have to wake Junior up. And I'm like, hey, wake up. Half groggy. I'm like, go downstairs and open the garage door. Like, uh-huh.
Yeah. And
stumbles his way to the elevator. And as I'm trying to wait for him, somebody's leaving to go to work, so I dirty in there and park underneath. And meanwhile, he's like sleepwalking towards the garage door opener. But he woke up and played video games the rest of the morning.
Yeah,
so
there
whatever.
You go.
Whatever. Got a score for me tonight?
Cavs 106, Golden State 105. We'll get a game six.
So you're saying buzzer beater, Kyrie or LeBron? Or are you going with Creighton?
I'm
going
to say
You're going Creighton for three for the dagger.
Yeah, I'm going a missed three or two by Golden State.
Oh, so
they'll
have a chance to win it.
They will have a chance.
See?
LeBron and the boys will escape.
That is excellently thick. When you think about them having to respond to a heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. Golden State on the road after being up 3-1.
How about you?
I think it's
tonight.
I mean, it's got to be 115 or below if Cleveland wins. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Cleveland forcing a game six. 115-112. I'm going to say Korver for the win.
Oh, all right.
Since I've crucified him for taking the shot. Talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thank you.